start, we're going to have the teaching. We're looking at the subject of prayer, and we're going to start that first, and then we're going to worship, sung worship a little bit later. So, explanation. Prayer is the sort of life source of our lives. Prayer is about, it's like the communication and how we communicate with God. And it's like, having a phone, and it's meant to be a two-way thing. But prayer is not easy. And so we're doing a series here. And what we've done is we're borrowing the HTB, Church in London, has done a series. It's called the Prayer Course. And so basically, if you want to follow up on today, then we do encourage you to look at, literally just Google HTB Prayer Course. And you've got they've taken the Lord's Prayer and they've divided it into, I think it's six sessions. And what we're going to do last month, we started with adoration, which is kind of Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. That's adoration. And today we're going to look at the subject of petition. Petition, so asking things. And I'll just give you a scripture from Matthew. Matthew 7 says this. Matthew 7, so Matthew is a book in the Bible. It's in the New Testament part of the Bible. Matthew was one of the friends and followers of Jesus. And he wrote down, in the book Matthew, he wrote down part of the things what Jesus said and things that Jesus did. And so it's like an eyewitness. He was like one of the eyewitnesses of Jesus' life. And he said this. He was quoting what Jesus had taught him. It says, Matthew 7, verse 7, "Keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him?" So our topic this morning is petition. And in a moment or so, we're actually going to follow. It's kind of 15 minutes. We're going to actually see the teaching. The teaching will actually come up there, okay, which will then give us things for both discussion. Okay, any? Lovely. Okay, so this is on the left here. This is Pete Gregg. And on the right is a guy called Johnny. We'll play the clip. And what you suggest is if you I don't know if you've got a mobile phone or if you've got some piece of paper or something, just maybe jot down things that, as they say things, things that you would you think are the kind of key things. Because all we can do on a Sunday morning, in one sense, is introduce a topic or something. But the way to really grow in the Lord is, when you've had something, is to then pursue it and chew on it yourselves. Okay? So it might be helpful. I did it. I went through it, and I've just on a little piece of paper, just four or five little points. And then you can kind of throw it around later. And when I say throw it around, I don't mean like that. I mean discuss it. throw it around, is a phrase that people in the UK have used since 1974. Bit before your time, yeah. Okay, so here we go. Okay, thank you, Sam.
So, Pete, this is the second session of the prayer course, and today we're going to be looking at petitionary prayer. In our last session, we talked about adoration. But if I'm honest, most of my prayer life is just asking God for stuff.
Yeah, that's the most basic, instinctive form of prayer, isn't it? Just asking God for help. And that's what petition is. And sometimes people sort of say to me, why do we need to tell God things? Surely he knows our needs already. And I've always loved that story where blind Bartimaeus fights through the crowd, gets to Jesus, and Jesus looks at him and says, what do you want me to do for you? And he goes, duh, you know, I want to see. And Jesus goes, okay, and heals him. And so although God knows our need, he does still want us to articulate it to him in petitionary prayer.
And of course, the amazing thing about that prayer is that it works. Jesus heals him. He ends up, you know, being able to see.
Yeah.
But I think lots of us are comfortable with the idea of prayer changing stuff in here, but the idea of God doing stuff out there through our prayers is more difficult to us. Can we still expect these sorts of things to happen today?
Definitely. You know, there's overwhelming evidence, scientifically, believe it or not. Look, we've got to be careful that we don't reduce faith to the size of a test tube. But you know, there's been numbers of studies into the efficacy of prayer. One particularly famous one that took place in New York on women undergoing fertility treatment. And those who were being prayed for were twice as likely to get pregnant. And so there's all sorts of studies. But of course, we shouldn't be surprised that prayer works, because the Bible says that God loves to answer our prayers. Jesus said, ask anything in my name and it'll be done for you. And then on top of that, I travel all over the world. And wherever I touch down, if I say to a room full of people, who here has experienced an answer to prayer? And not just a vague, you know, but a real, full-on, miraculous answer to prayer. There are always people in the room. There'll probably be people in the discussion groups watching these videos who have experienced a definite answer to prayer. In Matthew 7, Jesus explicitly says, ask and it'll be given to you. The reason is because your Father in heaven loves to give good gifts to those who ask him. Tell me, just think about that for a second. Jesus is telling his disciples that the creator of the universe is a kind, patient, generous dad. That's how we can approach him.
It's funny that, because I saw this 2-year-old girl the other day with her dad, and she went up to him and said, Daddy, I want that. And then immediately afterwards she says, I need that. And it just made me think, you know, that's exactly what's happening here. But it also makes me ask the question, can we expect God to provide for our luxuries as well as our necessities?
You know, I've got 2 children. And although the world is full of problems, I sometimes buy them ice cream. I don't buy them ice cream whenever they want it. I don't buy them ice cream all the time. It would be bad for them. But the Father loves to give good gifts to his children. It's interesting when we look at the Lord's Prayer. The first bit of the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. Jesus was actually taking a prayer that was common in rabbinic culture at that time, called the Kaddish. And he was adapting it for his followers. The bit where the Lord's Prayer becomes distinctively Christian, the bit that Jesus adds on to the Kaddish is here, where it says, give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our sins, and so on. So what Jesus is doing is he is making this big prayer for the kingdom to come personal. Mm. He's saying the Father wants to help you with your problems, forgive you your sins, and provide you daily bread. So yes, it's completely right to pray, not just for our necessities, but sometimes for our luxuries. Just don't expect God to always provide them.
Have you got any advice then on how we might go about asking God for stuff?
Yeah, I always just say, keep it simple, keep it real, and keep it up. So, you know, first of all, just be simple about your needs. Don't be overcomplicated in telling God what you need and what you want. Secondly, be real with God about how you're feeling. And then accept that you're never going to do anything or say anything with completely pure motives. And so keep it simple, keep it real, keep it up. And also, when Jesus says, ask and it'll be given to you, seek and you'll find, what he's doing there is using the present continuous tense, which means he's not just saying ask one off. He's saying ask and keep on asking, seek, keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking. So implicit in this idea of asking God for our needs is perseverance. And it's a good thing that prayer doesn't work like magic. It's a good thing that God doesn't always immediately answer our prayers, or I'd probably have married a member of the Spice Girls instead of Sammy, which would have been a disaster.
I'd love to have seen that, though.
Yeah, well, you know, for the odd moment, but no. But people often say to me, why do we have to persevere in prayer? Surely we pray it once and then, you know, why doesn't God just do it? And I often think of it in terms of dominoes. You know, you keep stacking your prayers one after the other, and they're pretty much the same as before. After a while, you run out of new ways of saying the same thing, but you just don't give up. You keep praying. Jesus told parables explicitly to say we must pray and not give up. And then one day, you pray the prayer you've prayed a million times before, and something amazing happens. The whole lot comes down. You get the breakthrough you've been looking for all these years. We just have to keep stacking dominoes.
That's good. And I understand. I mean, that image is so helpful. But sometimes you have to admit that it's difficult for us to consider God and his love when we pray for stuff that we urgently need, and yet it's not answered.
Johnny, the issue of unanswered prayer is so important that we're going to devote a whole session to it later in the course. And to be honest, it's one I care passionately about, very personally, because my wife, Sammy, has been terribly sick as I've been trying to grow in prayer. But perhaps just for now, that traffic light analogy is something that's just a helpful hook to get our heads around unanswered prayer. Sometimes we pray prayers and we just get a green light. It's a yes, it's a miracle, very quickly. Sometimes it's an amber light and it's like God saying, wait and persevere. It's one of these. And sometimes it's a red light. And for reasons that we don't always understand, God seems to say no. And that can be agonizingly painful. The one thing I'd say to people who maybe feel like they've hit a red light with something they're praying about, a health issue or a financial issue or guidance or whatever it is those are the times to hold on to God's love for you more than ever before, not to give up on God's love, not to doubt God's love. When Sammy was particularly sick and our second child was just a baby, and really honestly we were just hanging on by our fingernails, on top of it all, suddenly the baby got chicken pox. And, you know, he's covered in blisters all over his body. And you're supposed to put calamine lotion on them, aren't you? And it doesn't make any difference whatsoever, as far as I can tell. And all I could do was pace up and down at home at night, holding Daniel, comforting him until he cried himself to sleep. And I had no way of saying to him, you won't always feel like this. This isn't what being a human feels like. I had no way of communicating with him that actually, bizarrely, to have chickenpox, a baby's quite a good thing because you get immunity, right, later in life. He couldn't understand those concepts. He just had to let his dad comfort him. And there are times where we have to accept God's ways are not our ways. We don't understand. But we can let him hold us and love us and comfort us.
How do we do that practically?
Well, I think, firstly, pray with others. Jesus said that there's a particular power when we come into agreement with other people. Secondly, pray incrementally. And by that, I mean, don't try and pray to the top of the staircase. Pray the next step along the way. You know, it's interesting to me that, I don't know, sometimes we pray for sort of someone to become a Christian. But maybe you just need to pray that next time you see them, you have an opportunity to talk about Jesus. Or, you know, I'm praying for my wife to be dramatically healed, but maybe just for a great doctor's appointment. So learn to pray incrementally. Also then pray specifically. I'm challenged by that Bartimaeus story because Jesus said to him, you know, what do you want me to do? And I realized recently I've been getting quite vague in some of my praying. For example, praying for my kids, it was all sort of, dear God, please bless them and help them at school today. Jesus might have been saying to me, but what do you actually want me to do? And so I sat down and I worked out the really big prayer requests that I've got in my life, the things that are going to take miracles. And I found out there's actually 8 big things I'm praying about. And then I went to the Bible and I asked the Lord to give me a promise for each of those 8 things from his word. And I wrote them down. And then what I did was I went online and I got one of these, an 8-sided dice. So each of these numbers represents one of my prayers. And I just, at different points in the day, will throw the dice. And each time it comes up with a number, and I'll pray the prayer, and I'll claim the promise that is associated with that particular number. So number 3, that is actually the prayer for my kids. And the promise I got is that they will grow in wisdom, stature, and favor with God and with man. And so I'm praying that at school today, they'll grow in wisdom, stature, and favor with their teachers, with their friends. But I'm also praying that they will grow spiritually in favor in heaven. And it's just a practical way of me beginning to pray specifically, as well as incrementally, and as well as often with others. And then finally, I believe it's important to pray systematically about things. It's the domino analogy, to keep going in prayer, not to give up too soon. And one of the lovely stories, it comes from the year 562 AD, when a pagan English king called Ethelbert, his wife had become a Christian. It's often the way, isn't it? The wife gets saved first. She's become a Christian. And being a nice kind of a husband, he decides to build a chapel for her so she can go off and do her church stuff. Well, she went to that chapel every day and she prayed in it for him, for Ethelbert, to get saved. It took 35 years of praying in this chapel until God dramatically answered her prayers. You know, the book of Ephesians says God does immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. It took 35 years, but after 35 years of praying for Ethelbert to get saved, in 597 AD, a bunch of monks came from Rome to England, and they preached the gospel. And not only did Ethelbert finally get saved, but one of those waves of monks that started to come through, Augustine, built Canterbury Cathedral there on the site of that chapel. And out of that, really a great evangelism movement went out throughout England and the British Isles to win many for Jesus who hadn't yet been reached by the Celtic evangelists. And so she didn't just see her husband saved, she actually in many ways created the hub for Anglicanism today and for the evangelization of the British Isles. And that took 35 years of praying. And we're still, I think, feeling the consequences 1,400 years later. And just one other thing. 3 weeks after I started praying specifically using this dice for my kids, for example, one of them sat up in bed at 9:30 at night, called for Sammy and me, and said, I need God. I want to give my life to Jesus. And I had the enormous joy and privilege of kneeling by his bedside with him and him surrendering his life to Christ. I've been praying that he'd grow in wisdom, stature, and favor with God and with man. And 3 weeks later, I'd asked a specific question and I got a specific answer.
Pete, thank you so much. Why don't we pray now? Our Father, give us today our daily bread. As we bring before you our needs in our groups and discuss our needs, Father, we pray that you would hear us and answer us. And we pray for any of us who are struggling with unanswered prayers, that you would help us, God, to continue to stack dominoes. Lord, teach us to pray. Amen.
Amen.
So he fits so much into a short time, doesn't he? It's wonderful. So if you want to look at that again, it's HTB prayer course, and you can just look it up on the internet. Why don't we just for 2 minutes, why don't you turn to your neighbour and tell each other if you've had a prayer answered, you've prayed something specific in your whole life, one thing that you've prayed something specific and God has answered it. Why don't you just share that with a neighbour if you've got one, or listen to theirs if they've got one. So there may be one or two people here who don't have a story, which is totally fine. But maybe, could you just put your hand up if God has ever answered any of your prayers? So if you've ever had a prayer answered, stick your hand up. Okay, so if those of you that haven't yet had a prayer answered, look round and be encouraged that there's prayers that you can pray that God would love to answer. I found this really challenging because I think that it's brought up in me an independence that I don't necessarily want to ask God things. I think that I'm fine and I should jolly well just get on with it. And it's brought up the idea that God wants us to ask him for everything. He wants to give good things to me. That sort of slightly shocked me that I was thinking that I have not really been thinking every day. There's lots of things I want to ask God. The other thing I realize is that I forget very quickly, and maybe I'm missing the opportunities to be really thankful. There's a verse in Philippians that says, ask God for what you need and be thankful. And I think I probably am asking him for what I need, but I might be forgetting to be thankful. And so when sitting down trying to think of answered prayers that maybe from this week, I'm thinking, I can't really think of anything, but I know that I've been praying. But I've been really challenged to be sort of more watchful as to how God is responding, and to be really thankful and taking the time to thank him. Now, Pete Gregg talked about his 8-sided dice. I looked them up on the internet. They do exist. 9, 25, there's all sorts of ones you can get if you want to. I think 6 is quite, sensible, because we've probably all got those already, but that's just me. I just thought for a moment or two, why don't we just identify or start to identify things that you really want to see God answering in your life. So either for you personally or for people around you that you love. I think this would be such a great thing for us to kind of focus on this month, just sort of identifying some things where we want to ask God specific things so that we can see specific answers. So like if we're praying for Bristol, we say, we can bless Bristol because blessing Bristol is a great thing to do. But we might want to pray specifically that there'll be a great mayor appointed shortly who loves Jesus, who might be called Marvin. And that's a really specific prayer that we will see an answer to that one way or another, won't we? So let's identify specific things that we want to ask God. And as we worship together in a moment, there's going to be a time where the words die away, and then at that point, just start, use that time, the band will play over it, over us as we pray, but just start to ask God specific, simple, straightforward requests, and we'll just get into the habit together whilst we're here today of petitioning God for the things that we really want to see happen. And then maybe when you get home, maybe write them down. If you want to get a dice and do what he's done, go for it. But let's pray regularly and often for these things that we're going to ask God for. So just for a couple of minutes as the band get together, let's start to identify what some of those things are, and then we'll have a time to pray together. Yes, you can pray those things on your own. If you want to pray with somebody next to you, then do, but there's no pressure to do that because you may just want to kind of crack on asking God for stuff on your own. That's fine. Okay, let's worship together and identify things. The band are just going to give us some background worship as we identify things. So either just in your heads, you'll just be starting to think of some of those things, and then there will come this point where we can pray those together. So as we're standing just in that place of knowing that he loves us, and that he loves to give good things to his children. Let's bring our petitions, our asking, to him now as we, as the band continues to play. Let's just keep in that place of knowing that he loves us. There's an invitation this morning for us to know how much he loves us afresh. That might be one of your petitions, to know how much God loves you. But let's just pray together now. Pray out loud or just quietly as you like, just for the things that you've begun to identify as being the things that are on your heart to pray for. So just before we end today, we wanted just to pray for Marvin and Kirsten as Marvin launches his campaign to be Mayor of Bristol today. They're doing that now as we speak, they're launching. So if you would join me in praying for them, as they're part of this church and we want to be their family and support them and love them as they put themselves out there in such an incredible way. So just pray as you like, but I'll pray as well. Jesus, we lift Marvin and Kirsten and the children to you, and we thank you for them. Thank you for their courage, for their boldness. Thank you for their vision for this city. And Lord, we want to ask that you'd be with them this morning as they launch the campaign. Would you bless them? Would you fill them with joy and with peace and with energy and strength? We pray for Kirsten, for her body, Lord, that you would give her health and strength. And Lord, thank you that you have got such a heart for this city. Thank you that you have got plans and purposes. And Lord, we pray that that what you have planned for this city will come to pass. And we lift this city to you. We lift Marvin and Kirsten to you. And we ask, Jesus, for your kingdom to come in this place and in them and in their family. Oh, Jesus, would you just give them courage? Would you draw people around them? Would you help us to be a good family to them, to support them and love them and pray for them, and to uphold them through these weeks of campaigning? Thank you, Jesus. We invite you in. Amen. And just as you take away those, have you started to think about things that you want to ask God specifically for? If you remember, Pete Gregg said that he asked God for a promise for each one of them, a word of scripture to go with each request. And I was just reminded that's a really important thing, so that we know that we're praying what God has already promised us, because he loves it when we pray in line with his will. So maybe there's something to do when you go back, just to write those things down and start to ask God for the promises that go with your requests. And then let's see what happens this month. It's exciting. And keep adoring as well. That was the last one. Don't stop adoring. We're building it up slowly. Fantastic.